questions at this point about what I've said?
I'm curious to know if anybody got them all right.
Anybody? You did. Oh, very good. Good. You should have. You made the statement. Probably the most comprehensive research has been done by a person by the name of Patricia K.O. Sexton, who is a sociologist. She's on the faculty at New York University. And she's written a number of books. The one that that I have with me today is called The Feminized Male, in which her work here was based upon a grant from the National Institute of Mental Health. And she did a study in a fictitious town, which she calls Urban Town, in which she looked at what happens to males in school systems and what happens to females. And it's her belief that the way schools are structured today, that we're turning out a feminized male. Females seem to be doing all right because we structure the school for the benefit of the female student, and we more or less hinder and handicap the male student, the male part of the population. But she also has some interesting things about research relative to male versus female. But I'd like to read a preface to her book, which Mark Twain wrote some time ago, not particularly for her book, but it was some of his writing. It goes as follows. Girls are very stuck up and dignified in their manner and behavior. They think more of dress than anything and like to play with dolls and rags. They cry if they see a cow in a far distance and are afraid of guns. They stay at home all the time and go to church on Sunday. They are always sick. They are always funny and making fun of boys' hands, and they say, how dirty. They can't play marbles. I pity them, poor things. They make fun of boys and then turn around and love them. I don't believe they ever killed a cat or anything. They look out every night and say, oh, ain't the moon lovely. There's one thing I have not told, and that they always know their lessons better than boys. Mark Twain, of course, is a very familiar person. But the father of educational psychology, G. Stanley Hall, back at the turn of the century, put a forewarning to American public education when he made the statement that if we don't re-examine the structure of the schools back then, that we were in fact going to hinder the male population, that the schools back then were in fact showing evidence of feminizing the males. You can get from research some interesting information about male versus female in terms of such things as are males in fact possibly inferior to females. There is some evidence to support this, and let me again a quote from her book. Boys mature more slowly and are more vulnerable and more perishable than females. Many more boys die before birth. Their lifespan is shorter, they grow more slowly, and reach full maturity at a later age. About 130 to 135 boys for every 100 girls are born dead. About 200 miscarriages of boy occur for every 100 girls. Lucky for us that about 103 to 107 males are born alive for every 100 females. Since the first year of life alone, 27% more males than females die. In the first dangerous year of life, 25% more boys than girls die of premature birth, 54% more of injury at birth, 18% more of congenital malformations, 27% more of congenital debility, 35% more of circulatory diseases, 23% more of diarrhea, enteritis, etc., 22% more of influenza and pneumonia, 44% more of syphilis. Only whooping cough leads to more death of girls. That's an interesting piece of it. More males die of accidents, more brain injuries at birth, and suffer such things as blindness, limited vision, color blindness, poor hearing, deafness, epilepsy, schizophrenia, feeble-mindedness, far more often than girls do. She indicates in the book that perhaps males are far more perishable. You know, I almost think that I'm ought to be a refrigerated fruit. Because of the evidence that we have available to us, that males have a far more difficult time just maybe in living. And then we put them through the process of an education, and there are things that happen to them as a result of that. The concern in terms of the school is, I think, a very real one. 85% of the teachers in the elementary school are female. About 65 to 68% of all teachers in the country are female, although there is a slight slightly more than a majority of the secondary level teachers are male. Nevertheless, the total package is that there are far more females in teaching than there are males. And as a result, the schools, in the opinion of a number of writers, take on a feminine kind of position. We tend to base the schooling experience upon language and symbolism. And the research is very supportive of the fact that girls excel in the use of language and symbolism. And that's the very basis of the school system. So taking that in consideration, we are in fact probably giving girls a head start, because they come well equipped for the use of language, and we put them into that. In fact, there's evidence to support the position that girls in the early elementary years are better in mathematics than boys, but cultural, societal implications take their toll beginning in late junior high and high school, and females pick up the notion that you don't really want to stay in the area of mathematics or the sciences too much, because that is kind of viewed as a male domain. This is a very real concern by Matina Horner, to reverse this kind of thinking within the male element of the population, and particularly the female, that females can feel as comfortable as going into the math and science areas as commonly viewed by males. Girls are about a year and a half to 2 years ahead in terms of growth and maturation. And as a result of that factor, they also have another built-in advantage in the school system. There is evidence to support the fact that girls are far more conforming and passive and dependent in their behavior, which is what a classroom teacher enjoys. A typical classroom teacher will like to work with students who do not cause them any personal grief, whether it's discipline, whether it's work being done, whatever it is. Students who cooperate are in fact reinforced for that. And this message is quickly picked up. And if girls are in fact more conforming and passive in their behavior, they're going to be rewarded more. Whereas boys appear to be far more aggressive, curious, analytical, perhaps, in their thinking. And as a result, they'll tend to get in the way of what the teacher has planned, and as a result, become a disruptive kind of influence. There's some interesting studies that have been done relative to male teachers and female teachers and how they interact with male and female students. One of the interesting findings here is, if you take and sex segregate classes, so you have all boy classes and all girl classes, and you have male and female teachers teaching those sex-segregated classes, the results show that in the classes which are all male, both female and male teachers will lecture 2.5 more times to the boys than they will to the girls. And it's a case of keeping them in line, telling them what to do, because the fact that they're probably male. Both male and female teachers, however, will deny that they do this. And they say, no, we don't discriminate, you know, we treat everybody fairly, when there's little evidence to support the fact that that in fact occurs. Okay, I've rambled on here for a few minutes. Do you want to raise a question here about anything I've mentioned?
Are you saying that these qualities are inherent in males? Or does our culture, from the very beginning of little childhood, teach males to be like this?
I don't think we know that yet. I think the current feeling is that it is probably more environmental than it is innate.
I've read some articles stating that the fact that a child, whether it's female or male, is predominantly dominated by his mother from the beginning of life is a factor in the outcome, because normally the infant is taken care of by the mother predominantly all the way through life from the beginning. So naturally a female would be associated with a female and a male would be associated with a female all the way through. And of course this is a fact of life. Now what factor that would have on attitudes or ideas or changes certainly would have factors on one's attachment to people or persons or how you would see them. Mm-hmm. But then again, life being such as it is, I think this has to be accepted as part of it. It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say it's some people have brought that up as something, I guess, to think about as a factor. I don't know if it would. I'm sure it would make a difference.
Yes.
I wonder if it is natural, or does our culture make it that way?
No. Life such as it is, it has to be, because the child is, like I say, born into the family, and like I say, it's naturally closer to the mother for nourishment and so forth. It's only natural to life that it is this way.
It's natural in our culture.
In all cultures.
Well, it is becoming more apparent that males are taking more roles and taking care of children in some ways.
Yes, but when you go back to the very nature of the nourishment of in mammals, the milk is provided for the infant by the mother. I mean, this is basic to nature. I mean, it has to be that way. I mean, if we change it, sure, we can bottle feed kids and we can do this and so forth. But I mean, if you go back to basic nature, this is the way it is. This is the way it has to be.
That's the way the birth is.
That's the way it is. And I guess I'd have to say that's the way it's supposed to be.
There are some exceptions in nature, though, aren't there? Where it's the male that cares for the offspring?
And as far as mammals, no. There are some birds where the male tends the young and the nest, but the ostrich is one. And then there's quite a few in the reptiles where the young are, of course, are abandoned and not attached to either parent. But in the world of mammals, this, like I say, is the case.
I wonder if there's any way of researching whether or not this is changing, or maybe has changed, say, in the last 75 years. It seemed to me that if we go back to the turn of the century or the late 1800s, there might have been less female dominance, or when we were living in a basically agrarian society, it might the mother's influence over the child might not have been as great as in an urbanized technical society, where the child could be out running around with the father working on the farm and so forth, whereas now the father is physically absent to the great majority of the day.
Mm-hmm.
or whether we could go back to a time when, I would guess that if we go back a century or so, maybe there were more male teachers than female. Is that possible?
Yes, we go back into early American history. Teaching was primarily a male occupation, but that has since shifted.
I think you're absolutely correct in some urbanized societies, because oftentimes the father is absent from home all through the week. He leaves on Monday and returns on Friday. Or he might be in the military service and be gone for months. In most cases, he's at least gone completely through the day. And probably down at the bowling alley at night, you never know.
Well, I had truths all the way through, except for this one that I want to know who did the research on it. But the thing that I keep coming back to, okay, in all of these ways, the female is supposed to be superior, dominant, all this and that. Why do we have a male-dominated society? I mean, we have never had a female for president. A lot of the better-paying jobs are males, and this doesn't quite fit. I mean, if a female is superior in all of these ways, then how come?
After school is up, she just drops down and she's out of school?
I think it's cultural, societal. I think that's the biggest thing after.
How did it ever get started? Because you go back way back in history.
Man is head of the house.
Century after century. If this was the case, certainly it should have flopped.
Mm-hmm. It was all the way back to the Bible.
But yeah, go back there as a starting point. Woman is subservient to man.
What I always find so funny is that what women used to do in the home, you know, be the baker, the sewer, the, you know, dye the clothes and everything, all of a sudden, you know, they don't have those jobs anymore because the men have taken those jobs over and they're getting paid to do it. And women never got paid to do it in the home. So they just took our jobs.
I'd like to say something in the way of humor. Who really tells the president what to do?
Well, we find that true in church too, where most of your Sunday school teachers are females.
Yes.
So they get a female school, public school system, and they come to church and they get a female teaching them, and all the education departments practice.
Yes.
That's mostly because men don't want the job, right?
Right. Well, it's not a case they don't want the job. It's a case
they're
that
to delegate.
Yeah.
You can't make a living. That's one of the biggest things.
Well, and there are also cultural conscriptions on that. It takes a gutsy man to be an elementary teacher.
That's changing. I'm glad for that. We're probably seeing a greater interest on the part of males, at least at our institution. They can certainly get the jobs far much easier than the females can, and they're in greater demand. Oh no, it's not discrimination. In fact, if you're trying to balance out the 85% female dominance, that's, you know, a good cause, a good reason for hiring more males. They do, however, shift into the administrative positions rather quickly, which is unfortunate.
They sure do. A male nurse can get a job in a year, head nurse on the floor.
And it's interesting, when you talk about nursing as a form of education, there's male interest in that, and it's interesting that if you have, in some nursing programs, where you have two males in a program or something like this, why do the females elect them to the offices? So automatically, it's a societal thing that we say, well, we'll elect a man to an office, the president of the nursing group, you know, as opposed to electing a female. I don't know what the factors are at play there. In her book, Sexton's book, she points out that feminized males differ from effeminate males, and she doesn't want people to get hung up on that kind of thing. Feminized males are ones that learn to cope with the system and survive. And the feminineness about them is the fact that they soon learn to conform to what the female teachers want, and as a result survive quite well. The aggressive male who doesn't want to conform eventually may be forced out or is constantly in trouble in the system because of nonconformity primarily. She has some interesting findings relative to interests on the more feminized males in the system as opposed to the less feminized males. More feminized ones will be spectators at sporting events, and their participation in sports is far more toward the passive side of sporting activities as opposed to the football, lacrosse kinds of activities where it's, you know, force against force. They're more apt to be interested in ping pong and tennis and things like this. They'll also have a high interest in literary linguistics. The more masculine boys will have a higher interest in aggressive, combative sports and technical kinds of things in school. But the school is really not set up for technical kinds of study. It's not structured that way. It's an interesting, a very interesting piece of research she has done. There are some other interesting areas in research relative to male versus female. Girls start school with a very pronounced disadvantage. And the interesting thing about it is that we start school at age 6 for both male and female. Girls are about a year and a half ahead already in terms of their growth and development. Yet we start them at the same time. Now that goes back to about the 15 or 1600s when we still had the notion about the age of reason. And it was viewed then that a child of age 6 or 7 was really an adult, but just happened to be occupying a child's body. So the notion about school starting at age 6 goes back, you know, many, many years to the age, so-called age of reason. And I think we have probably now a sufficient amount of data that would tell us, let's rethink when we start school, and maybe we ought to start school at different times for male and female students, so as to even things up, so they're in fact able to function better, and that boys can get away from the ball and chain effect of having female students with them in the classroom. We know we can't have sex-segregated classes in the schools. That's contrary to the law, so that has to go by the boards. But there are probably some other things that we could do. We could revise the curriculum, I think, in many instances, and make it more conducive to male activity, and at the same time not harming the female student because of the fact that she has advantages. But you take the development of the hand, for instance. Girls are far more adept at fine motor skills than boys, and they possess this for a very long time in the academic process. And one of the things that we get hung up on in schools, I think, and perhaps are overly concerned about this, is neatness. Girls can crank out, you know, very nice, neat work the first time through. But that's unusual for a boy to be able to do that. We start in school with the process of of printing as one of the first forms of written communication for students. And girls will pick up on that easily. They can learn to print nicely. And we would normally think that as you go through school, the gap that exists between male and female students and the ability to use their fingers for fine motor work decreases. In other words, the gap narrows. But by third grade, when you think there'd be a closing of the gap, it has actually widened to 3 years difference in the ability to use the fingers. Interesting. When do we introduce cursive writing? Third grade. Girls pick up on that, and away they go. And boys are struggling. Oh, those sloppy papers, you know, you don't know if you're dealing with some hieroglyphics of some kind, you know. And neatness counts in school, but I don't know that really counts that much in the larger society. There's a heavy penalty to pay for sloppy paper. You gotta redo it, all those math problems, or you gotta rewrite that whole paper. and it's a penalty. And girls whip through it rather nicely, without at least the same kind of direction and concern from a classroom teacher. Some other interesting research areas has to do with, do we in fact favor female students if we're male or female teacher? And there's evidence to support that we do. We can take identical work and we can grade it higher for female students. We do that consistently. It's almost as if we have some kind of built-in bias for the female student. And that's even on objective kinds of tests, and it's often more pronounced on subjective kinds of examinations where handwriting is a major factor, and style and the ability to express themselves. The girls are far more capable in this area, and therefore will receive a higher grade for equivalent work. We do a lot of things, and I think the total impact is one of putting a strain on the male population in the school system. They're the ones that are going to cause the more problems in reading. 3 out of 4 problems in reading are male as opposed to female. Even in our reading clinic at Wittenberg, it's predominantly males who are referred to the clinic. Rarely do we have a female elementary student referred to us for work. Many other aspects, speech problems, hearing problems, problems of emotional, social nature. You're going to have a greater element of males involved in this than females. I don't know what that really means, if it means that we're dealing with a rather serious genetic kind of problem, is when I indicated the problems associated with miscarriages and deaths and things like that, that we've got a male gene problem, I don't know. But you could begin to think that way, I think. And when you look at the problems associated with left-handedness, 10% of the American population is left-handed, and of those who are left-handed, the greater number are males as opposed to females. We're a right-handed society. Dyslexia, which is kind of a poor term, nevertheless it's used, will occur far more often in males than females. And as a result of that problem, you don't know how to cope with it, because some belief is that it's associated with a genetic disorder. But that's opening into an interesting area. We're getting into genetic counseling more when people are considering having children, and the possibilities of are we going to have a normal individual who will be born in the family, or will there be some kind of abnormality? Questions here?
Do you think that more male teachers would affect this, or do you think that it may turn it around? Such as, like, now after school, I usually had like a male PE teacher, okay? And that makes, I feel that makes a girl more of a tomboy, you know, towards that respect. Do you think that it would change if we had more male teachers? Do you think it would have more effect on the girls?
Well, probably would. Because of the absence of a male role model, which you alluded to earlier, the absence of the father, I think it would benefit both male and female to have it there. Sexton's concern is getting the right kind of male there. That seems to be her key thrust.
You think it's just a time in school when there should be, do you think, like elementary, you think they should start with elementary instead of, like, you know, most of your male teachers, like, are in junior high and senior high. You think there should be more in elementary, is that what you're saying?
Oh, I do, yes. Even though I would be hard-pressed to say you're going to get better results in terms of how males will go about learning and how they will grow and develop. At least they have a role male model that they can follow.
What advantage, though, is that going to have? I mean, as far as how is a male teacher going to teach that child in grade school how to write any better than a female would?
Well, the male may be less concerned about neatness and not get hung up on that.
But, okay, writing is, you know, communication.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, I have to read doctor's notes, and that is very important. It doesn't do any good for that doctor to write that down to me when I can't read it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a very small point,
yeah.
But I don't know, I think it's pretty important to be able to write so you can, you know, at least read it.
Do female doctors write more letters?
They sure do.
They really do.
I disagree with that. I'm also a nurse. And we have many I think that is an entirely different thing with doctors. I think it has to do with whether they're male or female, with the overwhelming need to get, when they're in med school, taking in all this information and writing millions of notes kind of thing, so that any handwriting that they had deteriorates. And I think this happens with females as well as males, at least it has in my experience.
I haven't noticed that. You mentioned something about tomboy. That's an interesting area. We take pride, it seems like, if young girls are in fact tomboyish, why doesn't that bother us? What's the belief we have about that?
You get over it.
Right. Just a phase. But what if the male begins to dress up in dresses, you know, plays with girls more than males? You know, plays house. What is our fear? It won't come out of it. It's not a phase. You know, we get concerned about that. Oh, my kid's hung up now on something. And we have a Freudian kind of complex as a result.
I don't know how you say, like, if you get more men in elementary school, because, like, I had a male teacher in fifth grade. And all the girls had crushes on him. And he played up to the girls more than he did the boys.
I have noticed a great deal too.
Because the girls are a cute little age and they're ahead of the boys.
That's why I say, I agree with Sexton. You got to get the right kind of male in there. Not just any.
Well, actually, the teacher won't make any difference if the child is behind. The age is the thing that's the factor, really, your ability, though. They're not ready to write yet, they can't write.
Have they tried starting kids out at different ages in school?
What's
that about?
And you would have a monumental national problem with this.
I think it's
more than
really
we have.
Into the male student would be so far behind age-wise.
Don't you think that in this day and age we kind of make some kind of a mistake by trying to throw male and female into the same box and trying to say that they're the same, because males are definitely different than females, and that they excel in some areas more so than females, and females excel in areas where males don't. Like if I was going to build myself a brick building and I wanted some bricklayers, chances are I would hire males. If I was going to hire someone for writing or some of these other skills the females excel in, we go there. I don't think that we could throw them all in the same box, so to speak, because I think they definitely, they might be traveling parallel through life, but they aren't in the same box, so to speak, or category. And I think oftentimes in this day and age, they're trying to push them all together and trying to make them one and the same, and I think this is a gross mistake.
Yeah. Well, I think we have treated unequals as equals for a long time, too long. We really don't take into consideration the differences that exist and how to work with those differences. So it's not to penalize either male or female.
No, I'm not one to say that there aren't females that come along that aren't going to be excellent bricklayers, but I've seen males that come along that are super writers, you know, can really have nice penmanship. But at the same time, I think predominantly females do better job writing than men. I believe this myself, and I myself am a lousy writer. In fact, if I write it down, unless I remember what I wrote, I can't read it again hardly. It's that bad. But I say, this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. And if I really took my time, I suppose I could do a fair job of it, but I don't take that much time. I go through it. And
I'd like to ask Leroy a question. Now, in Grand Forks, did they hire some female pole climbers, telephone pole or electric?
We had some on a steel crew. We had one last year.
Yeah, and this was something new and made headlines in this. Getting into your category, your hiring and firing category, would you hire electricians to climb poles or to drive trucks and stuff like this? How has that worked out now since you've had it for a while?
I wouldn't. From an economic standpoint or from a standpoint of productivity, I wouldn't hire a female to set steel, climb poles, or do that kind of work.
Even if they prove themselves?
If they prove themselves, if they could, definitely I would. But the experience hasn't been that it works out. But I say if they could, definitely I would. Because there are some that come along that, like I say, are really good, that can be really good. Because I've seen some that, like I say, are real good in these areas, but they normally the, like I say, they're an exception, not the rule is what it is.
Well, you were relating to bricklayers, and I knew that in your category you had some experience on how it came out.
And the reason we did is because of the equal opportunity employment, our placement coordinator, forced, to try to get some of these people into jobs that are not normally filled by women. And like I say, we tried it, and now the ones that we've tried, like I say, it hasn't worked out all that well.
Why is that?
To start with, I think it's the type of person. Like I say, if you had a person that was skilled in there, strength is one. Like I say, this person was big enough but wasn't particularly strong enough. Another thing, job attendance. It got to the point towards the end that 50% absenteeism, and then finally it tapered off to where it got to nothing. Like I say, it's a lot on the person. And again, like I say, the problems that we had was the ability, like you fill a wheelbarrow full of cement, it's a tough load. And you take a strong person to wheel it, if you've ever wheeled cement. And like I say, it runs into a problem. It takes a lot of strength. And like I say, if you get a person that's strong that can do it, fine. It works out. Whether it's female or male pushing the wheelbarrow, it don't make no difference to us, just so the cement gets there. But like I say, you still got to have the person that can do it.
Well, you're talking about two different jobs that are combined in one. Technically, I would imagine a female should be able to lay brick better if she didn't have to cart the cement. That there's a job discrimination there. Because if she tends to have better motor skills and greater neatness, it's just the job situation in society that forbids her that job.
I think what he said was fine motor skills. He didn't say crude motor skills.
I think laying brick is crude. Fine motor skill, isn't it?
I wouldn't consider it fine.
Are there straight walls, they're fine placement?
I wouldn't consider it fine like your fine motor skills. I guess, again, you'd have to draw a line is what you call fine and what you call crude or heavy.
I wonder if we have given females the opportunity. Maybe we would give a male a lot longer to learn a job like that. But our society discriminates against the female language. And this thing is elementary, as bright as this. This too has transferred into office jobs as being secretary, which women have been consigned for a very long time. Since the typewriter was, they did it in very early days. But women have not been given the opportunity to become administrators. This is thought to be the man's job, and the woman should be the secretary.
Yeah, but I think the predominant thing after the school, of course, is what occurs within the larger society. That's hard to combat. But I mentioned earlier that we would have national monumental problems if we tried to make some changes that might be more accommodating to males and not, in fact, hinder females. One would be a difference in the starting age in school. Either start girls earlier than you do now, start them maybe at age 4 and let the boys start at 6, or start the boys at age 8. Some states have that law. It's not well enforced. I mean, it's not in vogue. Arizona is one. You don't have to really start school until age 8, but most parents start their children at age 6. We might have a greater equalization than an ability. And
all girls aren't ready for school at age 6, though, really.
No.
Because I know I started at 4.5, and there's no way I've struggled to school all my life. And the guys that have started at 6, sure, they're having...
There have been some male-dominated areas that females have come in that are working real well, like in the company I work for. Drafting and blueprinting is one that they do very well in there. And these used to be male-dominated areas. And I say they're doing real well in there. Computer programming is another area that was male-dominated that they do real well in that area. But really, as far as if women want to get into the trades, if there's one comes along, they're in. Like she says about the nursing over there, that if a male comes along and wants to get into nursing, he's in. Or if you get, like I say, so these things are open. We don't get a lot of applicants. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else we can do to help the male be able to get along better in school? Besides, I mean, we can't change the age that should people are sending their kids to school. Is there any other way we can help the boys to get along better in school and therefore excel better?
Well, another thing I think can be done is to revise the curriculum in the school in various areas so as to make it more interesting to male students and less threatening to them. We ought to emphasize far more than we do large motor skill areas in school. Physical education is, I think, underemphasized. I'm not talking about varsity sports. I'm talking about PE. And boys here really need large motor skill activities. I think that's evidence in what you see girls doing at recess time, what you see boys doing. Why is it not common for boys to play jacks? What's that require? You see girls playing it a lot. What's that require? A lot of coordination. Boy, that's eye-hand coordination. I mean, you got to get that hand out there quickly, watch that ball, make the scoop, pick it up. And you don't see boys involved in that activity. They don't have that ability. And you don't see boys doing double dutch and other fancy jumping, do you, with ropes? That's murder.
Do you think that if the parents would work with their, like the boys, well, I know the parents, you know, they get a girl, well, we want to make her smart so she can go to school. Because, like, we've got a teacher, and he's got 3 boys, and his son, he'll be starting school in the fall. He already knows how to multiply. Do you think it would help if the parents would work with him at home? Like, get him started for the guys, if they get him started.
Possibly.
Are they ready for it?
Well, that's why I say possibly.
I think it really would depend on the kid.
It depends on the parent's interest and ability. How do you work with parents out there someplace who, you know, who aren't in contact with the school yet?
Do you think we expect more from girls than boys, and therefore they excel in school? Like, oh, it's a boy. Oh, isn't he just a boy? He gets by with a lot more things than a girl does.
Well, I don't know if he does or not. Because boys end up in detention, they end up being suspended and expelled far more often than girls.
But maybe that's why they've gotten, you know, they've been taught that they can get away with more things.
Well, I don't know.
I'm finding girls are even getting a lot harder to handle in school than women's lives.
Oh, I think that there's some support for that. In fact, there's evidence to indicate that the girl gangs in large metropolitan cities are on the increase. The boy gangs, out a few years ago, boy gangs outnumbered girl gangs 300 to 1. But now it's, you know, there's a slight change there, and now it's fashionable. I don't know whether you can attribute this to the women's liberation or not, but girl gangs are becoming more common.
The crime rate amongst females is, on the increase? It's many, many times. Of course, crime was predominantly, like murder and stealing and so forth, was predominantly done by males.
Yeah, it's a male
now
activity.
The female certainly hasn't equaled it, but I say it's on the upswing.
Well, that's disturbing.
This is not good, definitely not good. It's a sad situation, but nonetheless, it shows that they're taking more predominant, aggressive roles in life, in society, I suppose.
Some other things that can be done in the school is to allow for more non-conforming behavior on the part of the males. Don't. Yeah, you have to. You know, I think you really have to be more tolerant of the fact that boys just can't sit still for a long period of time, like the female can. And don't get upset when they're up in the other seat for a few minutes.
Fighting.
Well, yeah, I'd put a stop to that.
You have to have an efficiently run classroom, though. I mean, you can't have everybody up doing their thing.
Why can't they sit still?
Huh?
Why can't they sit still?
There's some evidence that indicates the nature of the beast.
Really?
He's a whole boy.
Really?
That's why the boy can't be still, so you're supposed to just say, well, he's a boy, he can't sit still. And what about the females? You know, okay, what do they get for sitting still and being able to write better and all this stuff?
They get continuous teacher praise, good grades.
They don't have the job.
No, they don't.
They don't have the pay.
How come, okay, I went to school with a kid that was a year younger than I was, and how come I'm struggling to feel equal to him if I have a superior advantage?
I don't know, and you think it's largely societal with you?
I think that the males have the advantage. In high school, I think the teachers play to the guys. The guys go up to football, so the teachers tutor them. You know, they get good grades, and they don't even have to be good kids. I mean, they get straight ones for just being boys, for being football jocks.
I think it depends on the school you go to, because our teachers do not tutor that guy. If they're out for football, they've got to have, I think it's a 85 average, but they're not even allowed to go out for football, and the teachers are not going to help them at all.
But they get the average? They get the 85% average?
No, they have to work for that grade. Our teachers, it depends on your school.
But don't they miss classes?
No.
I know, but I'll be like, we miss classes. Like, if they're on track or something and they play at 4 o'clock afternoon and the school goes clear until 4 o'clock, the guys get excused and the teachers tutor them.
Well, if they miss, okay, in our school, if you miss a class, you have to make it up. Like if we have discussions and you have notes, you have to get it from somebody else on your own time. Our teachers will not do it.
It depends on the school. Pardon? Do you have more male or female?
It's equal. I think we might have like one more male. But they will not tutor the boys.
Bobby, it's mostly women. So the women are giving the men the advantage.
Mark, I know that's the same in our school too.
Wouldn't they give the same advantage if you had a girls' athletic program?
We do. We have a strong girls' athletic program.
And you're saying that your school then discriminates against you?
Mm-hmm.
I think you better take that case to the principal.
Legally, she's got
a
title IX now in the school.
Sure.
Well, you can wrap them good.
Another thing about society as a whole, our society, is that teachers' salaries are not such that they can support families. And if we're going to get more males into teaching, salaries are going to have to go up, and nobody's going to want that. Taxpayers fight that, and the legislators fight it.
Well, if I were all powerful, I were the U.S. Minister of Education, Commissioner, whatever it is, and I could have things. I would pay kindergarten teachers fantastic salaries, and I would pay college professors the lowest. I would reverse. Don't worry, dear. I would put the best teachers I could find in the early years, and I would reward them handsomely. But we got the whole system backwards there.
Well, it's just like, well, this is irrelevant, but principals get paid twice as much, and in my experience, they don't deserve it. Some, I mean, not all, of course, but you know, they're the administrators, and maybe they've had a little more schooling, but that's another thing that's sort of backwards, I think. They, in my experience, they don't work any harder than the teachers.
Okay. One other comment about some other things to do. One would be to introduce more non-human teaching kinds of experiences in the school. Make more machines available for students to learn with. Be they program machines, put computer terminals in your building. Let the boys and anybody else who wants to sit down. Yeah, it's money. But what are you really after in the long run? Are you interested in well-adjusted individuals? And offer more science and technological kinds of study. And don't get, I think, hung up on college prep versus non-college prep. That's a whole myth that we've lived with for a long time. That the college prep kids are, in fact, better. There isn't much to support that.
We have scheduled things that we have to get through during the year if we have all this other stuff.
Yeah, but can't you accelerate the program? Can't you, we have the nine-month school system because all the kids in Philadelphia have to get back to the farm. You know, at the farm in Philadelphia, in New York City. We got this agrarian calendar that we live with. Why not have school year-round? A lot of school systems are moving in that direction.
It's strictly against year-round school. Absolutely.
That's it.
It would not be good for the boys, I don't
think. It wouldn't be good for anybody.
Who hires the teachers? This guy that just left now has this trying to get a job, teach a job in the grade school. He hasn't been able to get a job for years.
Every boy and man that comes to our school, we teach with a double.
Depends on the system, but if it's a large system, it's personnel director first, and then building principal.
In fact, my way, I'd go 8 and 4 months off, 8 months.
I think a lot of your problems we're talking about here, some are strictly human, is money, where you have to. In our particular system that I'm in, where we're cutting back, the first thing is, you know, go, are these things you're talking about? We're back to the reading and writing arithmetic core. Yeah. And this is the problem we run into, is that all of the different programs, which would be helpful, have to go. And you say, you know, chop $1 million, and, you know, okay, here's where it goes first, your computer programs, and so forth.
But if we went back to the very basic subject matter, we could alter that enough so it make it equal of equal interest to male students.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't there a study that most of the reading stories are all male-type stories, but, and they're trying to change that? I thought that was.
But look at the language used in the material. That's the key. Not so much the model is presented there, but it's the language that's used. It tends to be rather flowery, whereas males will find more enjoyment out of short, terse.
Well, of course, that is the reason for that is to teach more words. I mean, we're trying to get more words into the story, so they learn more words. I mean,
yeah. My wife's giving me the time out.
You won't have enough for next week.
Oh.
I won't be here.
I've got other.
You know, that out.
What are your other sessions going to be about?
I'm going to deal with human growth and development in terms of what Piaget has to say about cognitive growth and development. And I thought I would look at what that means in terms of religious education. I talked to Paul about that yesterday, but he's got some other things planned for next week. And I was thinking about some joint possibility there. And then also to deal with trends that are available to us in terms of male-female growth. Those kinds of concerns. But the one that I find of most interest is what happens in the school setting when we deal with male and female students. Thank you.